Our reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 37, starting at the second verse. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and would not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field when suddenly my sheath rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of the dream and what he had said. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Come up, James. Beth here, can I just ask you to come up as well? I know we weren't going to do this, but I just feel like I want to do this. This is James and Bethia. So James is our associate minister here at Emmanuel, and Bethia is one of our trustees, and they are married to each other, and they are brilliant, and we love them deeply at Emmanuel. But tonight you guys are going to South Africa, aren't you? And so I would love us just to pray for James before he preaches, but I'd love us just to pray for both James and Bethia and the whole Nichols family. So would you just reach out a hand and just pray for them with me? Yeah, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the word that you've placed on James's heart for us this morning, and we pray that you would speak to us, Lord, from your word. Challenge us, Lord, convict us, comfort us, encourage us, and strengthen us through what James shares. And we do pray for James and for Bethia that you would keep them safe, Lord, tonight and in the days to come, that they would know your presence close, and that you would do a powerful work in them and through them as they're in South Africa. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of ministering in your name, and we pray for great fruit, encouragement, refreshing, and strengthening for both James and Bethia. And we pray that blessing too, Lord, for the family here at home, for the children, Lord, for the wider family. We just pray your blessing and protection in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Matt, thank you so much. It's so wonderful to have Matt and Sarah and their family here, and to be involved at Emmanuel with them. We're so lucky to have them. Now, we have a slight problem this morning because I've probably got about 40 minutes of material that I'd like to preach on. Matt gave me 20 minutes, and we've got 3 minutes until the children come back in. So I'm not quite sure how we're going to square that particular circle. And I said to Bethia earlier on the week what I wanted to speak on this morning. She was like, "What on earth do you want to do that on Mother's Day for?" And because I said, you know, I want to look about living free from offense. And I sort of explained my thinking to her, and she sort of went, okay. So I'll quickly explain that to you just in case you're confused as well. And then if I've made a horrendous mistake, you'll just have to forgive me. So my reasoning is this. So we split most of the chores that we both work. We split most of the chores at home. And the shopping, the cooking, washing, all that kind of stuff. And I know I have had moments of feeling like a drudge in my own house. My brother loves to tease his children by whenever they ask him for something and he does it, he says, good service at this hotel. It really irritates them. Because the thing is, it's so easy to be offended. I love C.S. Lewis's writings, and one of the things he wrote this cosmic trilogy of sort of science fiction stroke fantasy stories, which most people haven't come across, but I absolutely love them. And there's a bit in that. I mean, it was written in the 1950s, so, you know, sort of family role models were slightly different back then. He's writing about the wife of this, of Jane, who's the wife of this man, Mark. And he writes this. He said, Jane, who decided from a mixture of motives to cook Mark an unusually elaborate breakfast of which she would rather die than eat any herself, and did so with the swift efficiency of an angry woman. Now, I know I'm not a woman, but I've definitely had moments like that when I have unnecessarily clattered pots and pans around the sink. I hope I'm not the only person who has had this experience. And I think I would hope that the best Mother's Day present I can give to anyone here is to help us to think about and to deal with the things that come between us. Because these are the most important things. And actually, in dealing with offense, that is where we find freedom. And if we want to walk in more freedom as individuals, and as particularly in individuals in relationship with one another, then learning to deal with any offense in ourselves is absolutely critical. I had a bad day before Christmas, and it was feeling as if everything had rather got on top of it, on top of me, and I was having a bit of a pity party. And I know that wasn't good, so I tried to do all the right things. Instead of wallowing in self-pity, I rang a friend and chatted through some stuff, and they were really helpful. I spoke to Beth here, and I realized that one of my major irritations was that I was having to invest a good deal of time and energy in cleaning up a mess that had mainly been made by someone else. And to add insult to injury, it felt as if that person was entirely disengaged from the mess and everything that I was doing to have to clear it up. And it seemed to me at the time the only option I had was to give this person a ring and confront them about what was happening, explain how I was feeling. So I started to make a list of the things that I felt we needed to talk through. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but the more time went by, the longer and longer and the longer this list got. And I knew enough to know that if you've got something difficult to say, you really can only get away with saying one thing. So I was slightly disturbed that my list was getting longer and longer. And I was determined to give them a ring the next day. But because I wanted to do the best I could, I decided to have my quiet time before calling. Just as I was going in to have my quiet time, this Amazon delivery arrived. And it was really weird. Amazon never delivers to us in the morning. So I didn't know quite what was going on. I couldn't even remember what it was. Anyway, so I went to the door, got the delivery, opened up, and it was this book, The Base of Satan by John Bevere, and I had been recommended this the week before, and normally when I'm recommended Christian books, I tend not to buy them. Because if I'm honest, I have quite a big stack of really good Christian books sitting by my bed, which I still haven't read. And the thought of adding one more to them does not fill me with joy. It just feels like more of a task to get through. But for some reason, on impulse, I just ordered this book. And I don't know if you ever have this, but you have moments when you think, do you know what, Lord, you know so much better about my life and what's going on than I do. And I get those moments. You know, we talk about the gospel, but, you know, it literally, the gospel means it's good news. And sometimes I just have these moments when I think, gee, the good news is so much better than I thought it was. And this was one of those moments for me. I had no idea what the book was about, and I'd started reading the back of it. And it's basically all about offense and dealing with offense. And I started opening the book, and I was looking through it. And in that time, when I did that, the Lord met me. He revealed my heart, and he showed me that I had fallen into Satan's trap. Now, I didn't really like the title, The Bait of Satan, but basically it's his thesis in his book is this, that Satan wants to trap us, and that his traps are both hidden and they're baited. And offense is what Satan uses to bait the trap. And what was amazing, just as I started to read this book, in my heart, in that moment, the trap that Satan wanted me to fall into was clearly revealed. And all I did was repent before the Lord. I forgave the person and I was free. You know, I didn't even need to ring them to work things through because everything had already been done in me. And I had several points of which I think I'm probably only going to give you the first one. But what I would really encourage you, there is so much good stuff in this book. I would really encourage you to buy it and read it, and you will get far more from it than you will in these few minutes that I'm going to speak. But I just want to reflect for a few moments on the passage that Julius so kindly read from Genesis chapter 37. Because you know, that one of the things I love about the Bible is nothing if not honest about people. And what a family. And so much of the stuff that we have to deal with comes from our families of origin. And versions of this story will have played out in some form in many of our families. You know, maybe the root here was that Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons. You know, then Jesus was young. He was only 17. And he did some silly things, bringing his dad a bad report about his brothers, sharing dreams in which it was clear that he would rule over them. And poor parenting, sibling rivalry, and mistakes led to tragic consequences. And I think the one thing maybe we'll only have time to get to that I'd love us to take away from this morning is that whenever things happen to us, we only have control over one thing, and that is how we respond to what happens to us. Because when we're hurt, our instinctive response is to try and control the person or people who have hurt us. And we believe that if we can control the people around us, that it will prevent them from hurting us further. The problem is that the only person I can control is me, and if I'm honest, then only on a good day. And if we try and control people, the people around us, we easily get into manipulation. That can really poison the relationships around us. You know, Joseph made some mistakes in his immaturity. What was the brother's response? They hated him all the more. You know, hating someone is a dangerous place to be. Hate in our hearts will find its way out in our words or in our actions. So Israel sent Joseph off after his brothers, and this is what they say. Here comes that dreamer. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we will see what becomes of his dreams. You know, that's how the brothers responded. And let's be clear, they were trying to destroy Joseph. This was not an accident. It was very deliberate. They wanted no chance of his ever succeeding. They threw him in a pit to die. That was their hatred being worked out. But if we don't respond in this way, if we don't try and control people, the Lord can and will use afflictions, trials, and tribulations to refine us. And the heat that these things bring into our lives will begin to separate out impurities in us, unforgiveness, strife, bitterness, anger, envy, and hatred. And the thing is, when life is easy, the sin in our lives can hide. But as the heat mounts, things begin to come to the surface. And we have a choice, either to remain angry, blaming the people around us, or to see this dross of sin for what it is, to repent, to allow the Lord to receive forgiveness. And as we do that, our Father God will take his ladle and remove these impurities from our lives. So it has been quite a stressful season that I've been going through. And one of my children is not shy about making their feelings known. And at breakfast before Christmas, they came downstairs. And I can't even remember now quite how it started, but we started arguing. And usually I play the peacekeeper at home, but I was sort of already felt full up to here. And so I pushed back a little bit harder than usual. And as I hadn't handled things perfectly, I apologized before they went to school. And as I reflected later, I had a sense that this sort of dross rising up in me from the external pressure I was under. And later that day, I photo-meshes them a page from the book's Bait of Satan about the Lord using the stuff that happens in life to refine us. And they wrote back the most lovely message. And I feel that allowing the Lord to use what was happening to me and explaining what was going on in me actually deepened our relationship. But the brothers responded from hatred of Joseph rather than from trust in God. And I think in the story of Joseph, I really love the story of Joseph. If you want a sort of more a bird's eye view of the story of Joseph, this is quite an old book now by R.T. Kendall, who's an amazing church leader at Westminster Chapel. If the story of Joseph is so good, there's so much in it, I would really encourage you to read this book as well. So shorter sermon today, but lots more homework. So Bait of Satan and God Meant It for Good, both really good things to read. And because as you will know, Joseph's story, just when at the moment you think this can't possibly get any worse, it does. So, you know, Joseph is sold into slavery, his new boss's wife. And, you know, let's not sort of beat about the bush. When Joseph was being sold into a slave, that meant he would be the property of another man for life. He would never be with his family or his friends ever again. You know, it's a terrible thing. You know, his children would be born into slavery. There was kind of no way humanly that he could ever come back from this. And then, you know, he's a slave in this household. His master's wife accused him of rape, and he ends up in Pharaoh's prison. You know, in that prison, conditions would have been crude and dehumanizing. As a foreign slave accused of rape, he had little or no hope of release. You know, Joseph had gone as low as a person could go without being dead. You know, and through the whole thing, he had stayed loyal to God and served his master with honesty and integrity. And this was his reward. How could God allow that to happen? Why me? What have I done to deserve this? And the only choice left to Joseph was, once again, how to respond to what had happened to him. And look at Joseph. He is amazing. He refused to be offended, to be bitter towards his brothers, to be bitter towards Potiphar and his wife, and bitter towards God. And it's so easy for us to focus on the impossibility of our circumstances instead of the greatness of God. You know, it's so easy for us to think God could have prevented this whole mess and he didn't. And so we blame him. And this is the very last thought that I would like to leave you with. Absolutely no man, woman, or child, or devil can ever get you out of the will of God. No one but God holds your destiny. And you are the only one who can get yourself out of God's plan for your life if you hold on to offense. And what happens to Joseph was actually the impossible place of Pharaoh's prison actually became the gateway through which God accomplished his purposes in Joseph's life. And that is amazing. And that is true for each of us as well. The things that we think are impossible will become, in the purposes and mercy of God, the gateway into everything he wants to do in our lives. So that is a very brief introduction, a complete whistle-stop tour. You can get the rest by reading The Bait of Satan, which I'd really encourage you to do. I was planning to do some response stuff, which obviously we don't have time to do today. But as I mentioned last week after Mary Joy was speaking, we are going to be looking at running a course in May that's going to go deeper into some of these things. So if you know, if something's come up this morning that you know you would like to process, then please do look out for that, because we would love to walk through some more of this stuff with you, because this is where freedom lies.
Thank you, James.